Hey fam, thanks for listening to the Better Man podcast. This season, the podcast is brought to you by Aroga Drive, one of my favorite energy supplements. If you're looking for all-day clean energy that won't let you crash and burn, Drive is the one. Stop pounding the coffee, stop crushing the Red Bulls. Instead, take Aroga Drive one time in the morning and you're good for the rest of the day. Check it out in the show notes or visit arogadrive.com.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the Better Man podcast. My name is Adam Tarno. Today on the podcast, we got my new friend, Ted Schimmer. Ted is a 30-year veteran of a national collegiate discipleship ministry. And unfortunately, Ted has seen firsthand the impact of porn use on generations. And I'm saying that plural, generations of young adults. In 2004, he and his peers at that national collegiate discipleship ministry, they started to see the number of men with deep addictions to pornography starting to increase. In fact, they even said that that was the number one obstacle getting in the way of them fulfilling their mission of discipling godly men and godly leaders. And so rather than just sitting around complaining about it, they decided to do something about it. They started the Freedom Fight. They started to do some research and they put together a great resource and a great tool that has been helping thousands of young men and old men find freedom finally. And not just like a couple weeks in a row or not just using pornography less, like freedom, years of no relapse. And so it's pretty exciting. So that's why we had him on the podcast today. I know we talk about pornography a lot on here. He's got a pretty unique perspective and a great story to share. So you're going to enjoy learning from my friend, Ted Schimmer. Well, Ted, welcome to the Better Man podcast. Thank you so much for your time today. It's good to have you on.
Absolutely. Adam, it's great to be here.
Yeah. So you are coming to us from Fayetteville, Arkansas, right?
Absolutely.
Yep. So just give us real quick, you grew up in that area, went to school there, left for a little bit. So just give us a quick timeline of what brought you back there.
Yeah. So my wife and I went on staff with student mobilization, a collegiate ministry. And we moved away and worked at some other campuses outside of Arkansas, including India was, part of that
wow.
mix. And
yeah.
So we've been back since 06.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Well, you and I were talking before we hit record. I have not been up to Fayetteville, but I was telling you my favorite coffee roaster is up there. So shout out to Onyx Coffee.
Yeah, they're good,
up
man.
There in Fayetteville. Whenever I make it there, that's where I'm going to go visit. They're producing great stuff out there with all that. But I've heard it's a beautiful city, and hopefully my family and I can get up there one day here soon. So what we want to talk about today is a topic that I don't think we can address enough here on the Better Man podcast. We're going to talk about pornography. Hopefully we're going to add a few new things to this conversation, new to the podcast listeners. Those that have been following Better Man for a while, they know this is a topic that we come back to, I feel like every other month or something like that, we're addressing this. But, so Ted, for you, like what was the moment? Do you remember that moment, however many years ago, where you just said, okay, this is a big deal, and I think I need to devote some serious time and attention to helping men with this battle? Do you remember that moment in your life?
Yeah, I do. And, I went into the ministry in 91, to disciple men. And part of that process, man, in 06... with the technology shift of going from dial-up to high-speed internet, and then that being mm-hmm. delivered to the iPhone in 07, man, we saw, those of us who work with college students, we had a front row seat to see the mm-hmm. impact of that much pornography on the adolescent brain. And we just started seeing the levels of addiction just growing deeper and deeper. And as a ministry, we identified pornography as the biggest obstacle keeping us from fulfilling our mission of building spiritual leaders for Christ. Hmm. So we recognized, hey, we're either going to lower our standards for leadership or we're not going to have leaders. And neither of those options were acceptable. And so 07 is really when I started my deep dive into this topic and, trying to learn all I could. Because, it was interesting, Adam, that back in the 90s when I would help men with, a struggle with purity, man, you know, it would work just addressing it from the spiritual angle.
Yep.
But man, things had changed. The addictions were deeper, and we recognized, man, we got to lead with the spiritual and keep coming back to the spiritual. But there are some other things at work here. And so that's when we started really looking at some of the brain science and some of those factors as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about that next, because I think that's the part that for me has been incredibly compelling. If I think about, you know, you and I are similar age. I was in college in the 90s and pornography was there, but it was like VHS tapes and magazines like that. That's what people had. So it was just, we weren't walking around with it in our pocket like today's college students or today's men have with it. And so if I think about early 20 something Adam, like late teens Adam, the not do it, like the evidence that was given to me to avoid it was really just primarily spiritual. Like, hey, this is a sin and God doesn't want us to sin. The brain science is really interesting now as that comes in, because it gets us thinking about it from a different perspective. And so talk a little bit about that. Like, what were some of the surprising things to you as you started to dive into what it does to the brain that was that really stood out to you? Anything come to mind?
Yeah. You know, and just, you know, we know from brain science, man, when we think a new thought or practice a new behavior, a new neurological pathway, you know, it started, a connection begins. And the more that behavior is repeated, man, the stronger it gets. And eventually, man, if you keep repeating something, you can do things automatically. You know, we've all driven to a familiar place. And then when we get there, we're like, dude, I don't even remember, you know, driving here.
Did I stop at that stop sign? Yeah all that.
Exactly. Because our brain has learned to automate. And when we do things repeatedly, man, our brain learns to automate. And, you know, with pornography, and particularly, you know, with the adolescent brain, because the adolescent brain, you know, which is basically the teenage years, is more susceptible to addictive substances. Mm. So the roots, the trench that is built in the mind, through repeated behavior, especially with something like pornography that gives such a huge dopamine hit, man, those habits go deeper. This is why we have laws in place to keep addictive substances away from the adolescent brain.
Yeah.
Because if somebody gets hooked on an addictive substance, which pornography is definitely one of those, because all the chemicals that are released, the chances that it becomes a lifelong struggle go way up, man, if somebody gets hooked before they're 18. And so just seeing this, that as students show up, you know, to the college campus as 18-year-old freshmen, and the addictions are getting deeper and deeper. And it's significant, because many of them, you know, start when they're 12 or, you know, even younger.
And yeah,
with, you know, watching significant amount of porn. But the encouraging part is, you know, understanding some of the brain science also gives us hope, you know, with passages like Romans 12:2, that transformation happens by renewing the mind, that we can actually build new pathways. It's not just, you know, not traveling the old pathway, but it's building new ones. It's not just repress, but it's replace. And so we've really built some of the practical tools that we teach in our program, which is all free on our website, that have been really proven to be powerful, but really leaning into Romans 12:2 and just some of the brain science as well.
Yeah. Do you remember some of the early groups that you were taking through it, and what was their reaction as you went through and kind of expanded this just beyond the spiritual, which again, we're not discounting that, of course, but how did those first few groups react?
Well, and I think it was exciting. It was hope giving, because I think when people start understanding some of the brain science, they start understanding that, man, that self-condemning thought that they've, you know, repeated to themselves of, man, I'm just a worthless pervert, I can never break free. It actually gives them hope of starting to understand, well, man, now I know why this is so difficult to break free from. And we can actually practice brace is one of the tools that we teach. But it was really, man, you know, it relieved the shame and it gave hope for people to understand this. And man, it's connected to the spiritual, that our understanding of brain science, of the brain science, really helps us understand at a deeper level, man, how to renew the mind, because that's where transformation takes place.
Yeah. Now, we've used a couple of words here, like hooked, or we've also talked about addiction a few times, even just in our brief conversation. I know those are not like clinical terms, so to speak, like you're not making a clinical diagnosis there, but I think it is interesting to unpack, like, what is the difference between, you know, somebody that you would say, oh, it's a habit, it's something I'm hooked on, maybe it's a full-fledged addiction. Do you have any way to decipher between all of those different words that a guy may use as he's thinking through his struggle with this?
Yeah, and I would encourage people, one, not to get hung up on that. Some people, hey, they want to stay away from the word addiction. Hey, that's fine. If habit is better, and so I try not to, I try to encourage people not to get hung up on, hey, what do you label it? Hey, it's a behavior that we know is not helpful. It's destructive. And man, we don't want to experience those consequences. And man, we want to obey God and experience the abundant life He has for us. Man, this is something I need to set aside. You know, typically when guys then begin to get into it, they're not worried about, hey, what the label is on it. But I encourage people, hey, not to get hung up on that. But, you know, typically, hey, if this is something I've tried to stop, I want to stop. Man, I see the negative consequences, but I can't stop. Hey, this is a habit. Maybe it's an addiction that you need to get some help with to overcome and walk in freedom. And I would just tell your listeners that freedom is truly possible, lasting freedom, not a circumstantial freedom, but man, true lasting freedom is possible. And, you know, the enemy doesn't want us to believe that. And I know a lot of guys who've given up hope that freedom truly is possible because they've tried so many times, they prayed so many prayers, and they're still stuck in bondage.
So what I found interesting, just as it's changed over the last few years, is seeing guys that have big platforms. I'm thinking of names like Andrew Huberman, maybe a guy named Dan Goh, even the comedian Theo Vaughn, has talked about trying to kick this habit. So in some ways, it's encouraging that here are some people with big platforms coming, not from the spiritual perspective, but from the science perspective, going, listen, if you're depressed and frustrated, like, quit watching porn. That's on a list of things that you can do. Strangely encouraging, right? To see that there's this collection of voices. Do you feel the same way when you read some of those or hear some of those headlines?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I quote, a few different, folks in my book, from the, professional athlete to, the world renowned musician to the atheist scientist, who all can agree that, man, porn is not only not helpful, but man, it's destructive. And the theologian to the eight, it's like, hey, the mountain of growing evidence. And I'll say this: UK and France have both passed federal legislation in the last couple of years to protect minors in their country from pornography. Because there is a mountain of secular evidence that just shows how destructive it is. UC Berkeley published an article in 2022. UC Berkeley is one of the most liberal institutions on the planet. But they actually, in their article, call pornography a public health crisis because of its, how it leads to abuse of children and women and human trafficking and, you know, not to mention, you know, all of the other, you know, impacts it has.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. That's good. Talk a little bit about the first order change and second order change. Cause I, you know, when I read some of your research on that, I found that to be very compelling. Hadn't really seen anybody put that in the, you know, those two different categories. So I think that'd be really helpful for our listeners. Can you briefly describe the difference between those two?
Yeah. And, you know, in first order changes, man, hey, I want the consequences to stop, man. I want to not experience the, you know, the negative parts of this. And so, hey, let me make some kind of quick fixes. And, and so there's superficial change, maybe it's quick change. You know, but the person hasn't, you know, the definition of freedom that we give in our book and I talk about it in there, but is, man, no relapse for 2 years and combined with healthy habits and relationships. You know, that second order change that, hey, I've adopted, man, certain habits that become a lifestyle. I've adopted certain habits that, man, are really going to foster, man, relationships and healthy relationships. And so first order change is, man, just at the surface level. Hey, I want certain bad consequences to stop. And so, hey, I'm going to kind of move a few things around versus, man, really, you know, surrendering and saying, hey, whatever this takes, I want to build a lifestyle and, man, the habits that lead to lasting freedom. So, yeah, those would be a couple of the differences.
And I think that's so great to talk about the difference between those two, because it's the first order change is a change of sorts, but to me, it's like that flash in the pan. And I love that it's, which can lead in my, like, I can think about different things in my own life where it's been first order change. It's typically like I'm counting days. You're thinking about a streak of a few days. You give yourself a tremendous amount of credit for doing something 4 days in a row or not doing something 4 days in a row. And I like that you guys are trying to guide people more towards, no, it's going to be this completely different way to think about it. And I would imagine that second order change is where you all are seeing the most progress
that people are making. Is that true? You know, and one of the things that we say is, man, you don't just quit a porn habit or addiction, but you must outgrow it by growing and developing in key areas of your life. And so, man, the encouraging thing, Adam, that we've seen is, man, the incredible growth, man, spiritual growth, growth in emotional intelligence and awareness and relationships, man, that people are becoming, man, the men or the women that they want to be, you know, as a result, because it's not just, hey, one or two minor tweaks. It's, man, I'm going to have to surrender my life at a deeper level to God. I'm going to have to walk more in vulnerability to others, which is going to lead to deeper relationships and growth in, you know, certain areas of life. And so it's been a powerful, you know, discipleship, you know, process, because, man, deep discipleship has to take place for somebody to really walk in lasting freedom.
I love that. You mentioned that, and you mentioned women, like men and women struggling with this. And I, you know, there's going to be a lot of listeners right now that are dads and they've got daughters. So what would you say there? What are you all seeing in the research that's starting to show? Cause for a long time, this was just, it's a guy's thing. Guys are the perverts, but that's not always true, right?
Absolutely. I was on a radio program, a couple years ago, and a mom called in and shared the horrifying story of discovering that her 10-year-old daughter was addicted to porn and had been for almost a year. Yeah. And, you know, she was like, man, I've got three sons. I thought I had to worry about them in this area. And, you know, the thing I tried to help the mom understand, and this will be important for your listeners, is, man, pornography became, man, her daughter's happy place. The amount of dopamine and chemicals that she was experiencing, you know, were giving her a rush and a high she had never experienced before. And so it quickly became, when she was bored or lonely or stressed or anxious, this is where she went. And this is what a lot of people don't realize is, you know, addiction experts tell us when we start using our addictive substance, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or porn, or food to medicate, man, or the negative emotions and discomforts of life, that's when an addiction goes to a whole new level of depth. Because as an example, if I start using porn to medicate the stress in my life, and I do that repeatedly, then the next time I'm stressed, my brain actually releases dopamine to start the craving to go down that porn pathway. And so a lot of guys will think, man, this huge urge to use porn just hits me out of nowhere. But when we go back and look, man, it's typically an emotional trigger. And so, man, it's not just about the sex part. And so this is good for, you know, dads with daughters to understand, man, it's become the medication of choice because of, you know, huge amounts of dopamine it's releasing in someone's brain.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And again, just encouraging to hear and good for us to be aware that this is not just every man's battle. This is starting to become a much larger battle. Before we wrap up here, Ted, I want you to talk a little bit more about Freedom Fright and the 30-day challenge in light of, I know, first order and second order change, but a great first step for a lot of people can be this 30-day challenge. So can you talk about that and a few of the success stories that you've heard coming out of that?
Yeah. You know, our main program is 6 months. And, you know, it's fairly involved and committed, you know, for that man, those who are serious about the second order change. So we saw the need, for creating kind of this on-ramp to, man, give people a taste. So that's when we created the 30-day challenge. So when someone signs up, again, it's all free on our website for the 30-day challenge, they get each morning in their inbox, they get emailed to them 10 minutes of content, a short video, a passage of scripture with some reflection questions. And it's really, you know, proven to be, man, just a great one discipleship resource. Man, you can send to a friend, hey, let's go through this, or a small group. Yeah. We have a leader's guide, you know, that just walks through some discussion questions where you can meet, once a week. But it's really been powerful. Dads have done this with their teenage sons. They know their son has struggled in this area, and it's been something for them to do together. So it's been really encouraging. Just, you know, to hear just, you know, 2 weeks ago, a guy, you know, wrote in and was like, man, I've been struggling for 47 years with this addiction. And man, going through the 30-day challenge, one, this is the first time I've had hope that freedom is possible. And man, this is the longest I've gone without acting out in decades. And
wow.
And so, you know, it's been encouraging to see really how God is using his word, to really help renew minds and set people free.
That's excellent. And so website for that, and I'll put a link in the show notes, but for those that aren't near a sheet of paper right now, what's the website for that?
It's thefreedomfight.org.
Okay. That's excellent. Well, Ted, this is fascinating. Again, I love what you're doing and the perspective that you're bringing to it. I know that when you set off probably 30 years ago to be in college discipleship ministry, this maybe is a little bit of a left-hand turn.
Yeah,
you had
for
to take,
sure.
You know, that this has become, in some ways, your life's work, but it's so important. And so thank you for heeding that call and doing what you're doing. And thanks for jumping on the podcast today.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Hey, brothers, if we want to finish strong, we need to start strong. And I can't think of a better way to start your day than with some encouragement from God's word. That's what Better Mornings, the Better Man Daily Devotional, is all about. Start your morning with better mornings and be the man God has called you to be. Check out the link in the show notes or visit betterman.com/resources and sign up for Better Mornings, the Better Man Daily Devotional.